What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, September 17th. I'm sure it does not feel like a good morning to you guys, but this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And look, first, I admire you for even listening to this pod, so thank you to everybody that is listening. That was a rough one. That was, as I said on the post-game pod, I've covered a lot of Eagles games. I'm not sure I remember a time in real time where it goes so quickly from, yeah, they're definitely going to win, to, oh my God, I can't believe they blew it. So I admire you listening. I appreciate you listening. I know listening about a painful loss is not fun, but this is where we are. And with, two games into the season, it's already a pretty painful one. So here's what we're going to do today. We are going to go over how they blew it. We're going to talk about the decisions they made, play some audio of what Nick had to say, what Jalen had to say, what Saquon had to say, some stuff about Bryce Huff that he had to say, some Dakobe Dean audio. So kind of a play-by-play on those final fateful minute and a half, minute 46 seconds, how this thing kind of fell apart. So let's get into it. First, as we always do, though, I do want to say on the schedule today, there's nothing. Nothing on the schedule today. No Nick Sirianni, no players, no availability. I'm sure they will be in the facility, and I'm sure it'll not be a fun day in the facility, but they will not be talking. So nothing on the schedule. Now, injury report, no injury report, no new injuries that we know of from this game. Didn't see anyone in the locker room that seemed injured, anything like that. But the big news is AJ said before the game that he could be out, and I quote, according to ESPN, a couple of weeks. Now, that could mean like tomorrow, like last night, and it could mean the Saints game. He could mean 3-4 weeks. I don't know. I wasn't there. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But at the very least, it seems like he's probably not playing against the Saints. So not to make things worse for you guys on a day like today. But yeah, AJ being out a couple weeks, obviously very bad news for this team, especially with how that offense looked last night. So that would be the injury update. The Eagles practice on Wednesday. They play on Sunday, so we'll get something there. But nothing new today, should be expected today, I should say, in terms of AJ talking or anything like that. Okay, well, strap in, because here we go. Let's talk about one of the most painful final few minutes I can remember covering in my time with the Eagles. Let's start with 1:46 to play. So 1:46 to play, the Eagles have the ball. They are up 18-15. The Falcons just used their final timeout. It is 3rd and 3. So the clock's not running. They're up 3. They have the ball. It's 3rd and 3. As we know, they decide to call a play where Jalen effectively rolls out, throws it to Saquon, and Saquon dropped it. And as a result, the clock stops. Now, a lot of people are going to talk about, the play call. So first, here's Sirianni on the play call.
What was your thought process on the 3rd and 3 call on the pass? And on that play, is there a mechanism where Jalen just sits down, takes a sack, mm-hmm. that's not wide open?
Yeah, definitely. They were running a certain defense and it, junking it up in the middle. So we're trying to go on around the outside and, it didn't work.
So to be clear, basically the play call is if he sees the running option, he runs it, talking about Jalen. But if he doesn't, then they have the pass. Now, the pass was wide open. Saquon has to make that catch. We talked about it in the postgame pod. It's an unacceptable drop. And I use the word unacceptable because in your profession, if you made a mistake of that magnitude, it would be described as unacceptable. Like, it's a mistake. He didn't want to drop it. It wasn't an intentional mistake, but it's an unacceptable play for who he is in this league, the amount of money he makes, the amount of resources that go into him. He has to make the play, and he would tell you that. In fact, here is Saquon talking about the drop.
Dropped the ball. Got my team down today. Shouldn't have the defense in that position. Make that catch, game over. Relax, back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
Were you surprised with the play call? Do you expect a running play? Or
no. Once I knew it, I thought it was a great play ball. I just got to make the catch.
from you guys.
How tough is this loss? Obviously, it looks like this thing ramped up.
Yeah, it definitely sucks. Any loss sucks. But the game comes down to a few plays, and it hurts a little more when you're the one who's making a mistake on that play.
So, yeah, look, you know, and the tough thing I will say from being in that locker room is, like, obviously they didn't want to lose the game, and that doesn't absolve them of anything, I think. But, like, Saquon's not going, you know, up there saying, yeah, I dropped it on purpose. He dropped the ball. You know, he dropped it. It's a simple catch. He's wide open. The ball hits him right in his hands where he wants it. It's a good throw by Jalen. He dropped it. Can't drop it. Absolutely can't drop it. Like, literally the only thing you can't do there is drop the ball. But he did. So we got into it. Me and James talked about it a little bit. I'm sure we'll get into it again later in the week. But there has been a lot of the play call was fine that I've seen. And here's the thing. Yes, the play call was a good play call. Saquon was open. He should have caught it. But as the play caller, and this is on Kellen Moore, as the play caller, he has to, in a way, like, almost be the adult in the room and take the possibility of the worst possible situation out of the player's hands. Should Saquon have caught it? Yes. Was it a good throw by Jalen? Yes. Did the play result in the players being in a position to have a first down and end the game? Yes. But when you make a play call in situational football, where you have to look at all the possible outcomes here, and you have to take into account how much time's on the clock and how many timeouts the other team has. If they run that ball, and first of all, they could just get it. On 3rd-and-3, they could just get it. Like, they have a really big run-blocking offensive line. Saquon had a good game that day. They could have just gotten it. Or maybe they're a yard short or a half a yard short, and we'll get into that with fourth down. But they could have just gotten it. Regardless, you run the ball there because it kills another 40 seconds off the clock. It kills another 40 seconds. So now, instead of the clock stopping, and the clock stopped at, I have it right here, the clock stopped with 1:42 to play, I believe. And then the Falcons get the ball with 1:39 to play. Instead, they get the ball. Had they called a running play, not gotten it, kicked the field goal, they're getting it with less than a minute to play. Like, that matters. And I know they went down and scored, but it's just a different situation too. Like, I don't think there's the panic because of the drop, like all those things. But in less than a minute, like, I would have trusted the defense. Obviously didn't work out. Hindsight's 20/20 in terms of what the defense did. If you would have told me they would have ran it on third, killed 40 seconds, kicked a field goal, went up six, kicked the ball off to the Falcons with 59 seconds, I believe they would have stopped them. We'll never know, but that's what I believe. So regardless, you cannot throw the ball there. You just can't. And look, last year against the Jets, 3rd-and-10, similar situation, they throw the ball. And what happens? There's an interception. In this game, similar situation, they throw the ball. Not exactly similar situation, but what I mean is it's a situation where you should run it, but they go for the more quote-unquote aggressive kind of play, and it backfired. Like, Saquon dropping that ball was the first domino in a string of events that led to the loss. Had they ran the ball, you kill 40 seconds, maybe you get the first down, maybe you don't, but you at least killed 40 seconds. So I think it was a bad play call. You know, obviously Saquon should catch it. I think it was a bad play call. This isn't really relevant to the play call and the sequence of events, but I did think this audio was interesting. Here is Nick getting annoyed when kind of questions about who makes the play calls.
Just to clarify on the calls, though, Kellen's making, you know, that
Kellen's pass, the offense that coordinator call, that makes, right? So, Kellen's offense coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Rule him on those.
Yeah, I'm the head coach.
Okay,
so I don't think there's, like, you know, well, let me rephrase. This is going to get ugly if they start to lose more. If they lose to the Saints, if they lose to the Bucks, if they're 1-3 going into the bye, like, it's going to be ugly. And I don't think that means Nick and Kellen are going to have issues, none of that. But you can hear it. Like, Nick's annoyed that he's being questioned about this, that it is a setup where Kellen's the one calling the plays and, like, the whole thing. Now, I think it's important to note Kellen is calling the plays. Like, Nick will catch all the blame, but Kellen called the throwing play. Now, is there a mechanism to run it? Yes, but regardless, Kellen is the one that decided to call a play where it is not just a run. That matters. Like, Nick's the head coach, I get that, but Kellen called the play. And I understand Nick being annoyed, like, you know, he just lost. It's a fair question. I'm not saying the question's not, I'm not saying the question is unfair. I understand Nick being annoyed. It's a tense situation. He's lost, like, but get ready, buddy, because this could end up getting worse. So, 1:42 to play. It is fourth down. Now, there's been some talk of go for it there. I would not have gone for it there. And I will fully admit, when I was driving home and I was thinking about this, I was thinking, maybe this is me becoming the old kick the field goal guy and not going with analytics. And I'd be curious to know what the analytics would say. But after that drop, the clock is stopped. You're up three. I don't see how you go for that on 4th and 3. You kick that field goal. You make it a touchdown game. I know it's not a full touchdown game because it's 6 points versus seven, but you make the Falcons go the length of the field to win that game. And they did. So obviously hindsight's 20/20. But if you go for that on fourth down and you miss it, and then all they need is a touchdown, like, to go up four. Because while Jalen ended up throwing the interception, at least by kicking that field goal, they had a chance on the other side to then go for a field goal and potentially win it, right? But if you don't kick that field goal and you miss, and then the Falcons score a touchdown, you then need a touchdown to win the game. So I was okay with the decision to kick the field goal. The defense didn't get a stop. It is what it is. It was painful to watch. But ultimately, kicking that field goal to go up six and forcing the Falcons to get a touchdown was the right decision. Maybe that's old school. Maybe that's like the numbers have passed me. Maybe, you know, maybe it's like you always be aggressive. But I think it's really easy for people to say what they would do. But on that sideline, I do not blame Nick whatsoever for kicking that field goal. I think it was the right decision. It's the decision I would have made. It didn't work out, but I think it was absolutely the right decision to make. So, as you know, the Eagles do kick the field goal. They go up 21-15. They're up six. The Falcons get the ball with 1:39. And this was certainly the moment where I remember sitting there and going, wow, like, they have a legitimate chance to win this game. So we're not going to get into the defensive breakdown because obviously the Falcons go right down the field. It's ugly. We'll talk about that later in the week. Let's talk about when the Eagles get the ball back. So the Eagles get the ball back. They're down a point. They have a chunk play, or not even a chunk play, but they get 13 yards. So they're near midfield. 27 seconds to play. Hurts drops back from his 43-yard line. So they're at the 43, and I tweeted at the time, it's a good time to have Jake Elliott, because by having Jake Elliott, you don't need to get all the way down to the 30 or something. You could, in theory, give him like a 65-yard attempt, and I think he would have a decent shot at making that. So from the 43-yard line, you're like, I don't know, 17 yards, 20 yards away from having a Jake Elliott attempt. So watching it live, I obviously the interception, you can't have it. But I wasn't super critical of Hurts for it. Rewatching the interception, I really think that was bad. It was a bad decision. It was a bad throw. But here is Hurts talking about the interception.
What did you see in the interception?
Trying to make a play down the field. He made a good play. I threw it a little too long. We gotta continue to prepare in those situations and put ourselves in those positions so we can take advantage of it. I think in the end, I felt very prepared, you know, going into those moments. In that moment, we just didn't just won our time. It went for us.
So I think there's a couple concerning things about the interception. One, I don't think it was a good decision. You're throwing it into not truly double coverage, but there's two defenders in the area. Devontae didn't see the safety. Like, Devontae had beaten his guy, so maybe he didn't see the safety, but it was a poor throw. Like, outside of a poor decision, it was a poor throw. Devontae, it was a poor throw. Like, it was looping down. Jesse Bates had to dive for it. Devontae had no shot at the ball. Now he's hit, which matters. But it was still a really poor throw. When you rewatch the play, it looks like he has a chance to dump it down to Saquon. It's hard to tell without the All-22 version, like, where he's looking. And even then, you can't completely tell. To me, it looks like he's looking the whole time at going to Devontae. He might briefly look at Saquon and then decide to get off of it and go back to Devontae. Now, with Devontae, now with Saquon, maybe he gets out of bounds. Maybe he doesn't. I think that there is a possibility that he gets out of bounds, but at the very least, you have that timeout. So I thought it was a poor decision to throw it. I thought it was not it is not a throw you can make in that moment. I'm definitely more critical of the interception after rewatching it. That was bad by Jalen. So that's the anatomy of it. Bad decision on play call on third down, a drop pass, a Jalen interception, and the season's on the brink of disaster. So few quick words from our sponsors, and then I want to play you two pieces of audio from the defensive side of the ball. Okay, so outside of just the offense, boy, did that defense have a bad final drive, and really the pass rush had a bad day overall. So talk to Bryce Huff afterwards, and again, like much like with the Saquon drop, you feel bad for the guy. Like, he's trying to get pressure. Look, it's his job. It is what it is. But here is Bryce Huff talking about the struggles of the pass rush.
Try to manage it. You know, you mentioned, like, you know what they brought you here for. Like, yeah. How do you try to manage it, play in, play out, not to kind of feel that pressure in the game?
I mean, I control what I control at the end of the day. I'm going to do everything I can for practice and for them to get home. So regardless of what pressure there might be, I'm gonna attack my process as well as I can and really find ways to get better.
Bryce, you mentioned your arsenal. You wanted to, you know, bring out more moves to kind of help get things going. Why do you feel like you've maybe not been able to, you know, get things going in terms of using different stuff?
I just need to get my ducks in a row as far as what my process is on the edge. Not be so antsy just to burn the edge. Don't have to sit on my rush with power. I need to work with my guys on the inside to get more pressure with a switch up, whether it's a game or a stun or some type of play we can run to mix it up. I just need to do a better job in general of being locked in and being able to, I guess, offset what they've been trying to do with the chips and just do a better job in general.
Do you feel like this is an easy, like...
Yeah, you know, he's trying, and I'm sure he is going to try to be better and go back to the drawing board and all those things, but he has to be better. Like, the pass rush has to be better. It has to start with him. He's their number one edge rusher. He simply has got to be better, and if he's not, then I don't know how the pass rush will get better. Maybe Jalen Carter will make the edges better. He wasn't great tonight, but it has to start with Bryce. And the other piece of audio I want to play for you is N'Kobe Dean, kind of just talking about the defense in general, and I think it probably a lot of fans can feel the frustration you can hear in his voice.
Fucking details. Those details. Little shit throughout the game that we could have did better. And it all just came down to details and just the little things. You know, we definitely could have played better on both sides of the ball. Every position group. It was just popping in on details and knowing that shit, I can overlook anybody. And this is not it. This is for me. This is, if anything, it's a fucking wake up call to lock in the means, lock in walk through more, let lollygagging, kind of put our foot on the gas and keep it on that motherfucker.
Do you feel like the team has been locked in?
Yeah, I do. I do feel like it. We could take it up another step, though. As bad as we played on both sides of the ball, it was still like 1-point game. So it's like, if we looking at the silver line. But at the end of the day, we in the lead. Can't make as many mistakes as we did on defense or offense. And expect the Cougs to win.
I know.
Yeah, the details. Lots of things. The details, the drop passes, the play call, the pass rush, the tackling, the switching to a zone late when they had, you know, all those things. It was frustrating. And I sensed it from the players. I sensed the frustration. I sensed it from N'Kobe. I sensed, you know, they're not enjoying this. Like, and I know you guys aren't either. And I know that's not what you want to hear. But, man, what a loss. What a day. I appreciate when you guys listen all the time. But especially when you listen after a loss like this, it truly means the world that you listen to me and James. So thank you so much for listening. The season is not over. It's in danger. But you know what? Maybe that'll make the comeback all that more special. So we will have more pods throughout the week. Me and James will talk about this, more daily pods, all those things. We move on. We march on. So, you know, as they say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.